A 2018 study on household food security in Canada said that Nova Scotia has the highest rate of food insecurity of any province. So we're here today with Nikki Jabour. Hello, Nikki. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Well, thank you for inviting me. So my name is Nikki Jabour, and I am a garden writer. I host a radio show on food gardening. I write extensively about food gardening, and I grow food in my backyard. I have over 30 raised beds where I harvest year-round, even in winter, from unheated structures like cold frames and mini hoop tunnels and my polytunnel. So I grow a wide variety of food crops in my backyard, which is honestly the most fun, getting to harvest every day of the year, even though we live in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
So tell us a little bit about gardening. And actually, first of all, let's talk about food security. What is food security and why is it important?
Well, food security is how available good, healthy food is to people. And it's obviously very important because we want people to have access to good, healthy food. So much food is mass produced and processed. And it's not the same if you can have like a box of, you know, quickly made macaroni and cheese versus, you know, something like broccoli or cauliflower or carrots or, you know, locally grown food, whether it's vegetables, meats, other types of food. So it's really important for communities. And I think it's great that it's becoming something that people are talking about, because 10 years ago, I didn't really hear a lot of chatter about food security. But now it's been definitely more front in people's minds, I think. And I think, of course, the pandemic helps spur that as well, as people worried about their own food security. People that maybe had never even been food insecure in their lives thought, well, gosh, this could happen to me. And then I think they began to think, to realize, I guess, that it does happen to people every day, pandemic or no. And more people are caring about that and thinking, well, how can we be more food secure for everybody in our communities?
Well, that is my question. What are some ways we can help increase food security?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways I think we can increase food security. I think a lot of it is more of a national issue, of course, and larger scale. But, you know, people can produce some foods in their backyards and front yards or decks and patios as well. And so there's certainly been a gardening boom the past 3 years. I first really noticed the increase in 2008 when we had, you know, the financial problems back then with the banks and such. So people started going back to vegetable gardening, not just their grandparents, but more people started growing food again. And it steadily increased, slowly but steadily, you know, for just over a decade. And then in spring 2020, it exploded as people worried about access to food. Seed companies sold out of seeds. And I mean, normally I would place an order with a seed company. Either I would go into Halifax and pick some up or go to a farmer's market from a local heirloom seed company. But, you know, you couldn't do that anymore for a little bit. And their online orders, instead of taking maybe a day to turn around, were taking up to 6 weeks. You know, people were ordering seeds in quantity and growing food. So yes, that is something people can do. They can definitely have a raised bed or two. You don't need 30 like me to grow a little bit of food. And I mean, if they're worried about food security, I would concentrate on growing high value crops, the ones that cost a lot to buy, but that are probably pretty easy to grow for most people. You know, things like cherry tomatoes, beans, peas, squash, potatoes, culinary herbs. I mean, you know, we often don't value things like herbs because it's sort of like an afterthought, but they add a lot of flavor and nutrition to our meals, and they're very easy to grow, but they're expensive to buy. So, you know, but also another way to increase food security is through urban farms, community gardens. We are seeing more, apartments and condominiums now and in the city putting in food gardens, little raised beds, and then people who live there can access those raised beds to grow food, which is fantastic. So I think we just need to look differently at our urban spaces and think, well, you know, right now there's nothing growing here but grass that the city cuts. What could we do with that space? Why don't we use it to grow potatoes to give to the food bank? You know, there's so many ways that we could be putting underused urban spaces to use to grow food. It's not really food related, but there's a really interesting project in Kingswood, the Kingswood Meadow. And that was an underused space that the couple that lived in the house beside it were mowing for 20 plus years. And then 2 years ago, they decided to turn it into a pollinator meadow. So this now 2-year-old meadow is, you know, it's quite young if you think about the age of the garden, but it is just a mass of flowers, native species, so much diversity. They've got so many monarch butterflies there. They've got beneficial insects. They've got pollinators of so many different types and more birds. So a simple little space that was weedy grass for 20 years is now a biodiverse area in our city. And there should be hundreds of them throughout the city.
And I guess what kind of vegetables and plants can we grow in Nova Scotia? I mean, sorry, let's, what kind of plants we can grow in Halifax? Let's narrow it down.
Well, you know, I think we live in a sweet spot here because we can grow so many types of vegetables in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I mean, I'm a testament to that, of course. My third book, Veggie Garden Remix, talks about growing global vegetables here in my garden. So I grow a lot of vegetables because my husband's Lebanese from Lebanon. I grow a lot of vegetables that are Middle Eastern in origin that I was told, even from his family, you couldn't grow here. Things like Mekti cucumbers, which are botanically muskmelons. I grow them. They love them. You know, so we can grow a lot. Of course, there's your traditional vegetables, the tomatoes, which are the most popular garden vegetable, potatoes, cucumbers, beans and peas, zucchini, carrots, root crops, of course. So we can grow a lot of your traditional vegetables, but we can grow a lot of other types of vegetables as well, ones that maybe are a little less, cold hardy. So things, for example, like, I don't know, when I was a kid growing food 30 years ago, I really couldn't grow peppers very well or melons because they needed a lot of heat. But now with the climate emergency, we're certainly seeing longer, hotter, warmer summers. So I can easily grow hot peppers. In fact, I have literally some on the table beside me I need here to dry. I grow eggplants and melons and watermelons very easily. So we can grow a wide variety of food here. And then, you know, if you want to harvest into winter, extend your season, you can, of course, use things like cold frames, a greenhouse, mini hoop tunnels, things you can easily DIY to extend your season. So really, the sky's the limit, I think, if you live in Halifax in terms of what you can grow.
And you mentioned growing potatoes in public spaces for the food bank as an idea. What are some other initiatives you think that the municipality should provide to people so they could help grow their own food?
Yeah, for people that are food insecure, I think, you know, having access to seeds, and soil amendments and organic fertilizers and even some basic tools like a tool library would be a fantastic idea. Buying seeds can be expensive, particularly if you're buying locally grown seeds. They might be $4 a packet. And if you're growing, maybe five or six different types of vegetables, then all of a sudden you're looking at, costs $30, $40 just to buy the seeds. There are some seed libraries. The Halifax Regional Library is fantastic, of course, institutions. Many of them have seed libraries in spring. So when you buy a packet of tomato seeds, for example, often there's 50 or 60 seeds in a packet. I might only need six of that variety. So any excess seeds I donate to those seed libraries where they can be then shared with other people. But perhaps that could also be something the government could help organize or supplement so that it's just more readily available in all the different libraries, or people can order seeds online through seed companies with a type of a voucher or something to help them pay for seeds. Another consideration, of course, is soil amendment. Healthy soil is what grows healthy plants. So if you do not have good soil, your plants are going to struggle, which means you might have a smaller yield, but struggling plants actually also attract more pests and problems and diseases. So you really want to encourage healthy plant growth. So having good soil, manures, composts. So there could be some compost areas, that are set up or just access to getting that compost. Maybe even the compost that happens in Halifax from our green bins that could then be, given back to people who are food insecure, who wish to grow gardens. So that's an option as well. And then a tool library somewhere where people could borrow tools to help, whether they're digging up a new plot or just tending their vegetables or even access to water so they can irrigate those vegetables. That wouldn't have been a problem 20 plus years ago, but I find water is very hit and miss now. In my garden in Halifax, I miss every storm we've had since late June. So I haven't had a good deep soaking in my garden in 8 weeks, whereas I know Halifax, some parts of Halifax had 100 millimeters a few weeks ago of rain. I did not. So it's very hit and miss. So I think if someone is going to be growing a garden, they should definitely have access to water as well. It'll just make things so much easier.
So you spoke about growing all these plants and vegetables. I guess, can you share with us some plant ideas that students can grow here? Like not necessarily a garden, but maybe some beginners get interested who want to start.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to get started in growing food or gardening in general is to start small, maybe a few containers or a window box or a planter. And then thinking about, what do I like to eat? Or maybe they want to grow flowers to support bees or plant some milkweed in a container for monarch butterflies. But I would definitely think about, if it's food, what do I like to eat? Well, if you like tomatoes, start with a compact type of tomato in a pot. Or you could even grow potatoes in pots, or leafy greens, salad greens like lettuce and kale and Swiss chard thrive when grown in containers. Or you can grow carrots and beets in pots. So think about what you like to eat. You know, fill that pot with some good soil, some organic fertilizer, plant your seeds, transplant seedlings, and then just tend that pot. You know, when you're ready to move up to something, you could try one single raised bed. 4 foot by 8 foot raised bed is a very typical size to get started, because that's what size lumber is. Untreated lumber, or even I've used logs to make a raised bed, or rocks. You can use anything as an edging and just add some compost in there and plant. And you can really grow quite a bit of food in a raised bed. It allows intensive planting. So you can actually double the amount of food you would grow as a traditional in-ground garden by growing in a raised bed. There's fewer weeds and pest issues, you know, and the soil is well draining. It warms up earlier in the spring. So there's many benefits to raised bed gardening. It's the only way I can have 30 raised beds, honestly, 30 bed garden. The fact that I spend about 15 minutes a week working in my garden, you know, it demonstrates just how low maintenance these beds can be. So I would definitely recommend that to someone new to food gardening, because it is a low maintenance way to grow vegetables.
And now, Nikki, you've been doing this for many years. I guess, what got you interested in gardening to begin with?
You know, my interest in gardening came from the fact that when I was a kid, we always had a summer vegetable garden. And, you know, my parents were busy. It wasn't the most productive garden, as my mother doesn't like it when I say that, I know, but it wasn't. But it did, you know, it was pretty weedy, but it showed me how delicious food tasted when you grew it yourself. So when we would pick the beans, dig the potatoes, which was such fun, it was like a buried treasure hunt, pull carrots or pick tomatoes, you know, these were the plants that we ate growing in our yard, and it just filled me with wonder. And that's never left me. I guess I've kind of built on that. And, you know, I studied at Dalhousie University, and then I studied at the Dalhousie University Agricultural Campus, which really opened me up to the wider world of growing food. And I've never looked back. It's honestly, it's a passion, and it's something I do every day in my work. But then when I'm not working, I'm out in my garden. So it's the best of both worlds.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences about gardening or food insecurity or anything you can think of?
I would just like people to realize that growing food isn't all that difficult. I think a lot of people think vegetable garden, they think, oh, it's, you know, going to be a war against pests and problems. And it really doesn't have to be. Like, if you walked into my vegetable garden, you would kind of look around and see all these flowers and herbs as well and think, well, this doesn't look so much like a vegetable garden. Because the way we grow food now is different than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Biodiversity is key. Even in a food garden, I'm adding lots of different types of flowers to attract good bugs. I can walk up there and I might see some aphids, you know, on a plant, but then I'm going to see ladybugs, maybe ladybug larvae eating some of those aphids. So it's a balanced ecosystem. And I keep that in mind as I plant my gardens. You know, I'm not gardening necessarily just for me. I'm gardening to encourage good bugs and pollinators. And again, it's just really not that difficult to do. And it is so incredibly rewarding.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for thinking of me.